Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, reserved in heaven for you. The word of God upon which we meditate this Sunday after Easter is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 11 through 15. Now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, "Tell them, his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure." So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. These are the words. In the name of Jesus the Christ, who lives, our glorious King, dear fellow redeemed, what is Easter all about? Why do we celebrate it so? Is Easter just a celebration of the renewal of spring and the renewal of life, the greening of the grass? Is Easter all about the Easter Bunny and yet another excuse to fill children up with candy? Is it, as some of the cults suggest, a holdover of a heathen fertility goddess named Oster, appropriated by Christians? I ask, did you hear anything about a fertility goddess last Sunday? Me neither. The holiday that we know as Easter focuses on the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We celebrate because Jesus' resurrection confirms that he is the Son of God, that our sins stand forgiven, that his word of promise is reliable, and that we too will be raised from the dead. So what did the resurrection of Jesus mean to those who first witnessed and heard reports about Jesus' resurrection? This morning and for the next couple of weeks, we will consider what the resurrection of Jesus meant to those who first heard and saw it. We will also investigate our own hearts to confirm what it means to us. We begin by considering what the resurrection meant to the first men who saw the tomb empty and those that they told about it. What does this mean? What did the resurrection mean in the eyes of the Roman soldiers and the Jewish leaders? What effect did the resurrection have on their lives? How did they understand and deal with the events that unfolded before their eyes? Moreover, as we meditate upon these things, we do so with the earnest prayer that God the Holy Spirit would strengthen our faith in Christ and our confidence in his bodily resurrection through these words. Amen. Now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. The roads in Jerusalem that first Easter morning were quite busy for so early on a Sunday morning. After finding the stone rolled away and hearing from two angels about Jesus' resurrection, the women hurried from the tomb with fear and great joy to tell the disciples. About the same time, Roman soldiers, those who had been guarding the tomb, having stirred from their fainting fear, also returned to Jerusalem to report to the chief priests all the things that had happened. So what exactly had happened in their minds? What would they tell their superiors? They had been guarding the tomb of a dead man, not because of the man in the grave, but because of the perceived threat from his disciples. They were guarding the tomb because the religious leaders were afraid that the same men who 3 days earlier had run away, one of them naked, would suddenly become brazen grave robbers. They were guarding a corpse because the governor Pontius Pilate commanded it. A Roman guard usually consisted of 4 soldiers relieved every 3 hours during the night. Quite possible that these men were hardened soldiers, veterans of war, who assumed that they had drawn a foolish and harmless detail. While they were in no danger from the man in the tomb, before dawn, they met a single otherworldly warrior, more powerful than any earthly soldier. A single unnamed angel of the Almighty Creator, dispatched from heaven, descended upon them. And the mere sight of him rendered those Roman soldiers inept. For the Gospel of John reports, "There was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow, and the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men." And so it wasn't one of the Nazarene's followers that showed up that morning. In point of fact, at that very moment, his disciples were hiding. When the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and rolled back the stone from the door of the tomb, and even if they had wanted to, the Roman soldiers could do nothing to stop him. The angel removed the stone from before their eyes, not to let Jesus out, but to show that he was already gone. They had been guarding an empty tomb. And when they regained their senses, some of them returned into the city to quietly report the things that had happened. Which brings us to the question, what was the resurrection of Jesus to the Roman soldiers who guarded the tomb? To those Roman soldiers, it was a sensitive problem that had to be carefully and quietly reported to the Jewish authorities. The angel had scared them senseless, but they were afraid of what the empty tomb would mean to them. They were supposed to prevent the body of Jesus from being removed, and they had failed. It was a sensitive problem because they were accountable. If the governor Pontius Pilate heard that the body had been removed during their watch because of their carelessness, there would be consequences. They would be held accountable. It was a serious breach of duty, one punishable by death, to fall asleep on guard duty. When they came to the chief priests, then they told the truth. They reported the things that had happened. The angel rolling away the stone, as incredible as it was. And while they had to admit they did not see Jesus alive, the truth is they will. Because the scriptures declare, "Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen." And so those Roman soldiers told the truth, even though it could mean disaster for them. If they had only known what the resurrection of Jesus really meant for them and for all of humankind. But as Romans, they believed that their emperor was a god. But he couldn't deliver them from death. He couldn't walk on water. He couldn't heal the sick and raise the dead. He couldn't promise heaven and deliver. But the man whose body they thought they were guarding could, did, and still does. Moreover, isn't it amazing that some of the first men to hear of Jesus' resurrection were the very men who conspired to kill him? God sent the message of the resurrection to the chief priests, not through Jesus' disciples, but by means of their own eyewitnesses, the soldiers they insisted should be posted to guard the tomb. Let's never think that anyone is unworthy or undeserving of hearing the message of the resurrection. So did those religious leaders accept the message as true? Hear for yourself. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, "Tell them, his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure." So they took the money and did as they were instructed, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. So did the message of the resurrection have any effect on the religious leaders? Did they fall to their knees and repent, and seeking out Jesus' disciples right away, tell them the good news? Did they freely admit that what they had done was wrong? Did they reject the report of the soldiers as false? Nope. They didn't do any of those things. They received their report, and then they hastily assembled the council and formally resolved to pay a bribe to the soldiers to cover up the truth. Even as they had paid Judas 30 pieces of silver to betray Jesus, so they paid the Roman guard a sufficient price to keep them quiet and promised to protect them. In the eyes of the Jewish leaders, the resurrection of Jesus was something to be covered up, something to be denied. They paid off the witnesses. They told them what they should say if anyone asked. They were to say that they fell asleep, and while they were sleeping, Jesus' disciples came and quietly rolled away the stone and carried off the corpse. Never mind the natural questions that people would have, like, if you were asleep, how did you know the disciples came and stole the body? But the religious leaders weren't interested in airtight arguments. They simply wanted to dissuade the masses from believing that Jesus had risen from the dead. And they sought to keep the matter quiet, lest others should come to believe in him. And there are still some today who want to explain away the resurrection of Jesus. I'm sure that there are still people who believe that the soldiers fell asleep and Jesus' disciples took the corpse away. I'm sure there's others who say that Jesus never really died, and still others who say that Jesus rose as a spirit being and not bodily. There are others who claim it really doesn't matter if Jesus rose from the dead. They're content to say things like, well, Jesus lives on in people's hearts. But let's not forget that to deny the bodily resurrection of Jesus is to deny the simple and plain word of Almighty God himself. Moreover, if Christ is not raised, the Apostle Paul says, your faith is empty and you are still in your sins. So what about you? What does the resurrection of Jesus mean to you? Is it just the traditional message of Easter? Is it just a good ending and a nice twist to a sad and bloody story? No. 1,000 times no. Jesus was really dead, and as cold as any corpse that's ever been rolled into and out of this building. But he then rose from death. The fact that Jesus was truly dead and rose again confirms that he is the one in whom we should place our trust, who is completely reliable to keep us safe and deliver us not only from sin, but temporal and ultimately eternal death. While some go to great length to deny and set as empty the resurrection of Christ, for you and me, the resurrection is an established and undeniable fact. It is the very foundation of our faith, a truth that we will not cover up or deny, but freely express, confess, and broadcast to the world around us. Christ is risen. And while some may dismiss the resurrection, we will stand guard over this truth, and opening the scriptures, point all to the open and empty tomb. Let people say what they will. Talk is cheap. God's word is ironclad. As we better understand what the resurrection means, our faith in him will grow stronger and more vital, taking strength from him to live and to love day by day. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet whose faith hath constant been. In life eternal they shall reign. Alleluia. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.